We've been going through these officers and officials in Israel and seeing the authority structures that God set up to govern His people. We started out looking at the judges and the role of the judges and the responsibility of executing justice, of looking into cases, of investigating and making sure that the will of God was done in those cases. And last week we looked at the king and the role of the king and how the king and the way that he functioned pointed the people to a coming king who would truly do what is right, whose heart would not be lifted up above the people, but would, and we rejoiced in the glory of Christ, who even from his exalted throne in heaven is mindful of us, his people, and continues to do what is good and right for us. This morning we'll look at the first 8 verses of chapter 18, and we'll see the role of the priest discussed and really God's provision and care for the priest. Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 1. The priests, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his portion. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he said to them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, whether it is a bull or sheep. They shall give to the priest the stomach, the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach. The first fruits of your grain and your new wine and your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep, you shall give him. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So if a Levite comes from any of your gates, from where he dwells among all Israel, and comes with all the desire of his mind to the place which the Lord chooses, that he may serve in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, who stand there before the Lord. He shall have equal portions to eat, besides what comes from the sale of his inheritance. I had opportunity this week to talk with Eric Streit about one of the longest walks of my life. And that was a walk that was about a half mile long from a parking lot in a park in Michigan City out to a lighthouse that was along a breakwater that goes out into Lake Michigan, this concrete breakwater. And it was a lengthy walk because I was going out that breakwater to propose to Ruth. And it was lengthy because in my pocket there was something that I'd spent more money on than I'd ever spent on any other item in the whole course of my life. And I was terrified that somehow that ring would fall out of the pocket and would go kerplunk right into Lake Michigan, never to be retrieved. And so there are these valuables that we have, these things that we can think of that are really precious to us, that we watch over, that we worry about, that we obsess over. These things that we are concerned about, and that we want to make sure that they don't get lost. Another recent example of this in our congregation's life was when Cy and I together picked up the $60,000 cashier's check that would be used for the purchase of the building. And Cy was not enthusiastic about sleeping with that check in his house and wanted to make sure that we dropped it right off at the attorney's office because he didn't think he would be able to sleep very well with that quantity of money in his house. Well, this passage points us to valuables and reminds us of the greatest valuable that as the people of God that we have, and that is the valuable of being brought near to God, the valuable of having God as our inheritance. And it's really a passage that speaks of the grace and the mercy of God toward us, that He would bring us near, that He would make Himself our inheritance. And brothers and sisters, you are priests of God. And so the application of this passage to you is that your greatest privilege is inheriting the Lord. So therefore, you ought to treasure being near to Him. And it raises for us the question, are we valuing that great privilege of being brought near to Christ? Is that something that we hold dear, or do we just take it for granted? Are you treating that privilege, your inheritance of the Lord, as a treasure, rushing to spend time with the Lord, guarding it carefully, or are you neglectful of it? And so this passage calls us to rejoice in and count as a great blessing our nearness to God. We've just sung about that in Psalm 139. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? It's a great thing to be brought into the presence of God. And what we find is that God actually is gracious in doing that. God graciously brings outcasts like you near to Him to serve as priests. The New Testament is very clear that you, as the people of God, are made the priests of God. 1 Peter 2:9 speaks of that. You're a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, it says. Revelation 1:6 speaks of that. That in the New Testament, that the priesthood is expanded beyond just one tribe, beyond just the tribe of Levi, to include all of the saints. And we can all think about and ponder the question, well, do you deserve to be God's priest? Are you qualified on your merits or on your personal holiness to be a priest in the house of the Lord? Certainly not. But there's encouragement for those of us who are outcasts. There's encouragement for us as unworthy people, even in the Old Testament. Even in the priesthood itself, there's a prefiguring of the priests being selected by God out of their own unworthiness. Who is selected to be the priests in Israel, to serve in the house of God? It's the tribe of Levi. So out of the 13 tribes, now you'll remember that Jacob had 12 sons, and so you say, well, where do we get a 13th tribe? Well, remember that Joseph's two sons both became tribes, so there are, in essence, 13 tribes. Out of all those 13 tribes, God chooses Levi to serve as the priest. And remember, actually, that, and let's make a clarification, that all priests are Levites, but all Levites aren't priests. So all Levites have a role of serving the house of God, but not the role of priests. So they all can serve at God's house, of course, with some exceptions for those who are too old or have certain physical problems. But we still haven't answered this question, why Levi? Why did God choose Levi to serve Him? Actually, the better question is, why didn't God choose another one of the tribes? Go back to, leave your finger here in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll be right back. But turn back, please, to Genesis chapter 49. These are Jacob's words of blessing, or his last words, as it were, to his sons. Genesis 49, beginning in verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers, Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So Levi is cursed because he, in anger, slew a man along with his brother Simeon. And what's this referring to? Well, put your finger in Genesis 49 as well and turn back a few pages to Genesis 34. And you'll find there the account of Dinah, one of the daughters of Jacob, being raped. And the brothers, her brothers, go in and say, and after she's raped, the young man Shechem of the town of Shechem, who's of the ruling class there, says, well, I would like to marry this daughter. And so Jacob's sons go in and they say, well, we would love to let you marry our sister, but we can't do that because you're not circumcised. So therefore they go in and the men of this town agree to be circumcised. And after they're circumcised, young men, Simeon and Levi, go in and put to death the male population of that town entirely, and then take as plunder the women, the children, and also the goods. So now, back to Genesis 49, now with that understanding of why Simeon and Levi are cursed in this way. In their anger, they slew a man, and in their self-will, they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So it's a curse that's placed on them, a curse that they won't have territory of their own. And for the tribe of Simeon, what that meant was that their territory ended up looking like the middle of a donut, like a donut hole right in the middle of Judah. And Judah ended up kind of swallowing them up so that then there was no trace of Simeon, of the tribe of Simeon, left. But for the tribe of Levi, that curse that they would not have territory of their own was graciously by God turned into a blessing for them. Instead of Levi receiving any land, and you can turn back now to Deuteronomy 18, instead of Levi receiving land, instead they're made the tribe of priests, the tribe of preachers in Israel. And of course, there would have been a cluster of them right in Jerusalem to service the temple, but then the rest of them are scattered throughout the nation, living, there are some particular cities that they would dwell in, but then also they would have been scattered abroad so that in individual small towns in Israel, they would have been the local minister, if you will. They had the responsibility on the Lord's Day of preaching God's word to the people, probably of holding school during the course of the week to instruct the youngsters in God's word. And so therefore, we find that Levi is scattered abroad. But God takes a tribe that should have been banished, a tribe that was cursed, a tribe that even could have been put to death, and instead brings them near to himself. It's a sign of great grace. And it's symbolic of the fact that you and I, even though we are outcasts, even though we are sinners deserving of death, far from seeking after God, far from being someone who you would say, well, this person ought to be a priest in my house, that instead God has chosen us and brought us near and made us his priests. And as the priests of God's house, your inheritance is the Lord. In verse 1 of chapter 18, we find the fulfillment of Jacob's curse, right? For the tribe of Levi, they will have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They will have no, when the land is divided up in the book of Joshua, they don't get their section. And you can look at maps and in the back of your Bible and see that there's no little section there for Levi. However, verse 2, God in His grace, therefore they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance. The Lord is their portion. And the Psalms really are full of this kind of language, and it's fitting. Because some of the Levites actually would have ministered day by day in the temple as singers in the temple, singing these psalms. And the idea of the Lord being our portion would have well expressed what was their inheritance and the attitude of their heart. Now, we might be tempted in reading a passage like this to say, well, thankfully, as New Testament believers, the priesthood is done away with. No one has to live with that curse that Levi was under without that inheritance any longer. And actually, the reality is exactly the opposite of that. The reality is that no, the priesthood is thankfully expanded in the New Testament. So that now for all the people of God, your inheritance is the Lord. So that unlike the Old Testament, where the 12 tribes don't get to come near at all, and even for the Levites, even for the tribe of Levi, very few of them get to go into the holy place, much less the Holy of Holies, which is very, very, very exclusive. Instead, we find that it's in the New Covenant, Hebrews 10, 17 to 22, that we are allowed, that all of us as priests in God's house are allowed to come near to the holy place. Hebrews 10, 17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so therefore, as priests, you are brought near. You're allowed to come near to God in worship and in fellowship and prayer, coming near to Him. And we find that as the priests of the Lord, that we are, as those who inherit the Lord, that you are sustained by God's portion. Notice this in the text, verses 3 through 5, that the priest, he doesn't have land, but he is fed. He is cared for. God provides for him, first of all, through the sacrifices. First of all, they get to have, out of these sacrifices, they get to keep the shoulder, the cheeks, which there's not a lot of meat in the cheeks, but apparently it's a very, very expensive cut of meat these days. The cheek, whatever little bit of meat would be right there in the cheek. And then the stomach, which anyone who's done any butchering knows that the stomach is not pretty. It is eaten in parts of the world and called tripe. It's it's beyond me why exactly God wanted the priest to have the stomach. I don't have a good explanation for you this morning on that. Maybe there are other things that they could do with the stomach, or maybe they were eating the stomach. I do not know. But God gives them the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach. And in addition to that, God provides for them by giving them the first fruits of the land. The people bring to them the first fruits. The best of the produce is to come to the priests and the Levites to take care of them. Well, then we might ask, well, wait, why are they allowed to eat God's portion? That's the Lord's. What are they doing eating what God has given? And it's because they stand to minister in the place of the Lord. As a small child, I asked my parents at one point, I said, does God come down Sunday night and get the offering money and take it back with him up to heaven? Or what happens exactly to that money? And of course, they explained to me that the offerings are used for the service of the house of God, for the needs of the kingdom of God. And that's the idea here, is that the priest, verse 5, the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord. So the priest stands in the place of God. And so as someone who stands in the place of God, part of what he can do then is receive the gifts that are given to God. Now, so God gives him these resources. But now if that's the case, and you all are priests, which we've established that, then we have to answer the question or say, well, then why don't we add everyone to the payroll of the church? Or in what way, you might say, do I share in God's portion if I am a priest in the house of God? Well, the reality is, brothers and sisters, that you partake and are sustained by the sacrifice and by the first fruits. That is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of Christ as the first fruits. And we have a spiritual priesthood, and we are sustained by the spiritual riches of Jesus Christ in our priestly role. We also need to note that, so as inheritors of the Lord, you're sustained by God's portion. In addition, as inheritors of the Lord, you share equally in God's gifts with all the saints. Verses 6 to 8 speak to this. So remember, we have Levites scattered around throughout Israel, preaching, teaching, holding people accountable, that sort of a thing all throughout Israel. But verses 6 to 8 explain that if one of these Levites who's out ministering in the metropolis of Port Matilda wants to come to Israel, come to Jerusalem to spend some time at the temple, that he is allowed to do that. And that he can come and serve there. He has a right to be there along with his brethren, the Levites, who stand there before the Lord. And when he comes to serve in the house of the Lord, whether it's just a choir member or someone who cares for some of the furniture of the house of God, or whatever his particular role is, he is then entitled, verse 8, to an equal portion of the food. And so therefore, he has a right to join in the ministry there, but also a right to his share of the gifts. Now, what's the practical importance or the importance of that for us today? Well, what we find is that as priests in God's house, once again, the equality of the saints is spoken to here. In that, as saints, as those who are called as priests, you equally share in the inheritance of the saints. So there's no one here this morning who can say, well, my inheritance from the Lord is better than his inheritance from the Lord. The riches that I receive are greater than this other person's riches. And we can see that in Ephesians 1, verses 11 to 23. We won't read all of it, but it talks about the inheritance. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Jumping down to verse 18, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now notice there, Paul's prayer is not that the saints would be able to share equally in the inheritance. God, Paul does not pray, God, make sure that John and Mary Beth and Joanne, that all of them can have an equal portion of Christ's work, of the inheritance, of the riches of what you have done for them. That's not Paul's prayer at all. Paul's prayer is that God would enlighten their minds so that they can understand the glory and the greatness of what their inheritance is. That they can understand the exalted inheritance that they have received, that is theirs through Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we need to grasp this great inheritance and be able to comprehend with all the saints as the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And we as God's people need that prayer that Paul prayed. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to illuminate us so that we can understand and grasp all that Jesus Christ has done for us, so that we can live as those who have been saved by Christ. So we can even notice here, and some of you have been through this. Some of you have been through the experience. Maybe you have a large family and one of your relatives has died. Maybe a grandparent or maybe a parent. And the family comes together, and often what happens, there's fighting over what's left. Well, I want the antique hutch. I want this thing. And there's this squabbling that goes on. And we're concerned when we go in to claim these inheritances that everything be divvied up fairly. Or maybe we're concerned that it be divvied up in a direction that helps me and that I get the best piece of the pie. But notice here that the inheritance that you have in Christ, that the problem is not getting it divvied up fairly or not. The problem is being able to comprehend how great it is. That I can't even wrap my arms around all that I get. I can't bring enough U-Haul trucks to the inheritance party to bring home all the things that are mine in Christ. I can't even get my arms around it. I can't wrap my mind around it. That's the inheritance that is yours in Christ. And that's the inheritance that was the priests and the Levites. Right? It wasn't a piece of land that's marked by this river and this cliff and this mountain and these towns. No, it was an inheritance. It was so big, so glorious and great that they could not fully comprehend it. And therefore, it was a valuable inheritance, a treasured inheritance. It should have been that. Well, as those who have received such a great inheritance, brothers and sisters, you need to be careful that the attractions of this world not distract you from your great inheritance. It's not too hard to envision down the road, after a few generations in Israel, there's a temple there, there's priests and Levites who live there in Jerusalem serving in the house of God. And it's not too difficult to envision, say, an 18-year-old Levite boy, male, coming to his dad and saying, "Boy, we really got the bum steer here. We really, why can't we be like the other tribes, Dad, and have, everybody else gets a family farm. My friends, my friends in the tribe of Judah, their dad's passing down a family business to them. They're getting trained in these things. And here we are stuck here in Jerusalem taking care of these sacrifices, basically relying on people to bring sacrifices and first fruits. And that's the way that we survive. And what's the answer of the wise priest whose son comes to him with that question, with that struggle? Well, the answer of the wise priest would be, son, you don't understand. You don't understand at all. Because, see, we have inherited the Lord. We're the most blessed. We're the most privileged of all the tribes because we get to serve in the house of the Lord. The Lord is our inheritance. Son, no one got a better deal than what we got. We got the best inheritance of all. The reality is that we often can be like that 18-year-old son of Levi, struggling with the exact same thing. And the reality is that many of the things that this world has to offer us distract us from the goodness of our inheritance. You may be distracted by the wealth that the world has to offer you, or the pleasures that the world has to offer you. And they may not even be necessarily sinful pleasures per se, but just the pleasures that the world holds, or popularity might be distracting you from the glories of your inheritance. And the reality, brothers and sisters, is that we struggle as a people in part because we have been placed in the midst of great physical riches in our nation. There's a lot here for us to be distracted with. It's easy for us to get caught up in our things, for our significance and our value to be tied up in the things of this world. But like Gollum with his precious, the things that maintain and attract and trap our attention can often be the very things that are dragging us down, that are killing us in essence. And what is it that's keeping you this morning from focusing on the Lord as your inheritance? We live in a difficult economic times. And the reality is that at least one reason why that is going on is that God is giving us a wake-up call as His people. Ask us, where is your treasure? And I'm not an economic forecaster by any means, and I don't want to be too doom and gloom about the economy. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, that many of us may never get to go on vacations that we have dreamed of going on. There may be people in our congregation who get forced even out of their homes if the economy goes badly enough. Many of us won't get to retire as young as we once thought that we would retire. Our kids may never realize the standard of living that they've dreamed of. And unlike many the past several generations in American history, our kids may not grow up to live in bigger houses than their parents lived in. And it's a challenge for us, but it's good for us to take stock. Where is my heart? Where is my inheritance really? We talked last week in the prayer time about Carlo, one of the Sudanese church planters who had a house fire last week and lost everything. And we think of Carlo and his family and we think, boy, they are so much poorer than we are. And yet, not really, brothers and sisters. Carlo and his family are insignificantly poorer than we are, and perhaps richer, because they may understand better the glory of the inheritance that they have in Jesus Christ. The reality is that he may have a much better grasp of his true riches than any one of us in this room today has. It's a call for us as we consider the inheritance of Levi to not get distracted from the riches of God by all of our stuff. This is a message that's true, certainly, at all times, but especially in these times of the market being down 35% in the last 6 months. It's an important reminder for us to treasure our inheritance, to treasure the inheritance that you have in Christ that will not fade away and that can't be taken from you. Brothers and sisters, it's a call for you to treasure being with Christ. John Steinbeck, in the book Grapes of Wrath, tells the story of a family in Oklahoma who loses their property because they can't make the mortgage payment, and they end up in California. And Steinbeck has a way of writing a book that leaves absolutely no hope, absolute darkness, hopelessness in that book. But the story only holds up if the people involved are unbelievers. Because, brothers and sisters, no matter how bad the economy gets in our nation, no matter how much you may lose, what's really valuable, you cannot lose if you're in Jesus Christ. Economic difficulties are therefore a powerful reminder and really an incentive for you to value your relationship with Christ, to flee to Him, to spend time with Him, to say along with the Psalms, it's good for me to be near to my Savior. It's good for me to be in the house of God. It's good for me to draw near to God. And it's an important reminder to each one of you that your significance is in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, don't get caught up in the rat race. Don't get caught up. What are we trying to do? Trying to keep up with the Joneses? That's not where our value is. That's not where our inheritance is. That's not where the important things in life are. Why are we looking for our significance and importance somewhere else? Why are we out trying to dig up another inheritance when our inheritance is the Lord? And it leads us to the question, how can you be jealous of people who have their inheritance in this world? It should not be so, brothers and sisters, that we are jealous of people whose inheritance is in this world, that have values, the valuables that this world has to offer, which are really not valuable at all. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is enough for you to stand near Him, to adore Him. And one of the great things is that when you treasure the Lord, when the Lord is your inheritance, they cannot take it away from you. And that's the attitude that strengthened the martyrs and those facing persecution throughout church history. In Hebrews, we read chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And we can ask ourselves, would we joyfully accept the plundering of our goods, knowing that that's okay, because my real inheritance is in heaven. The better and enduring possession is not my house. It's not my stock portfolio. It's not my car. It's not my jewelry. My better and enduring possession is in heaven. The priests and the Levites were given the great privilege of inheriting the Lord. At least in one case, it's recorded for us how a priest acted on that very inheritance. 2 Chronicles 24, 15 to 21, we read, "But Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, 'Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you.' So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord." Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, had a choice to make. He could have remained silent and maintained his position, probably a position of honor given who his father was. But yet he spoke up. And he spoke up and was willing to die, even die in the house of the Lord. Because he knew, Zechariah knew, that what my true inheritance is, you cannot take away from me. People of God, you are the priests of God, and you have an inheritance. An inheritance is undefiled, that cannot be corrupted, that cannot be taken away from you. And that is your great privilege, to inherit the Lord. People of God, treasure being near to Him. Treasure that inheritance that you have been given. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess that we value the things of this world, that we get distracted by them, that we place our worth in them, that we put our hope in them, that when we see our money shrinking, when we see our popularity shrinking, when we see people saying things about us, or when we encounter opposition, that we shrink away, that we, Lord, we value the things that the world has to offer us, and we confess that to you. God, how thankful we are that though we were outcasts, that though we do not deserve it, that you, through Christ, have become our inheritance, and that we have a glorious and great inheritance that we cannot begin to comprehend the dimensions of, the greatness of. God, make us mindful of the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. And increase our love for you. Increase our service to you. God, we pray that you would be our treasure. Change our hearts. Unite our hearts to love you, to desire you, to long after you, to value you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.